Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I find it interesting when synodical leaders exhort us pastors at conferences and conventions and such to encourage young men from our congregations to consider the holy ministry for their life's occupation. I find that interesting because I've always thought maybe we should discourage young men from considering the ministry. That way, if they go into the ministry, we know that they truly have been called by God. Because contrary to what most people believe, most pastors do not consider the pastoral ministry a rewarding profession. A recent study showed that 90% of those who enter the ministry will not retire in the ministry. On average, seminary-trained pastors last only 5 years in congregational ministry. 70% of pastors say they constantly fight depression. 80% of pastors believe their ministry has had a negative effect on their families. And 77% feel that they don't have a good marriage. 70% of pastors say that they don't have anyone that they consider a close friend. And 100% of the 1,050 pastors interviewed for this study had either a friend or a colleague leave the ministry because of burnout, church conflict, or moral failure. And these are just a few of the frightening statistics concerning pastors. So with all that in mind, and after having been raised in the home of a pastor myself, and having now served as a pastor for some 30 plus years, I for one thoroughly understand Jeremiah's words in our Old Testament text today. He was frustrated and confused why serving God and being obedient to God's call on his life should result in so much heartache and conflict and travail. And in some respects, Jeremiah was actually kind of bitter because he felt as if, in his words, God had deceived him. After all, it was not Jeremiah's idea to go and become a prophet. God chose him, and God called him. And thus Jeremiah saw the suffering and the ridicule and the reproach in his life as a direct result of what God had done to him, of what God's call on his life. But whenever he tried not to speak the word of the Lord, tried not to do the work that God called him to, he said he felt like his heart was on fire, and that there was a fire shut up inside his bones. In other words, he couldn't keep quiet even if he wanted to, because God's call on his life was so strong that he felt an overwhelming compulsion to proclaim God's word. So again, his predicament of suffering and being ridiculed by the people was the direct result of God's call on his life. I understand Jeremiah's frustration. In 30 years of ministry, I think I can count on one hand how many members who have ever thanked me for correcting, reproving, or disciplining them for ungodly behavior. People don't like it when you tell them that they're not living the way that God wants them to live. They don't like it when you say that they're supposed to give 10% of their income back to God, and if they're not, they're robbing God. They don't like to be told that divorce is against God's will when they've already made up their mind to get divorced. They don't want to hear that premarital sex is adultery when they're already living with their significant other. They don't want to be reminded that remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy means each and every week, not just on those Sundays when you're not too tired to get up. And the only way to get folks not to be angry at me about that stuff is for me to keep my mouth closed and don't say any of it. But then I have to contend with my heart burning within me, compelling me to do and to say what God has called me to say and to do, regardless of the personal fallout. And eventually, most pastors simply can't deal with this. And so they leave the ministry. There's a pastor at my alma mater, Lutheran High School, who's currently under fire because of a devotion he gave. A weekly online summer devotion for students following the killing of George Floyd up in Minneapolis. He not only spoke about, and I quote, the horrendous death of an innocent man at the hands of a police officer, unquote, but he also spoke of the sinful ways that some folks have chosen to deal with their anger and their grief, referencing, of course, the riots and the looting. Is what he said true according to God's word? Absolutely. Is he called to preach God's word? Absolutely. But because he called all people to look at their own sins and did not focus only on the sins of the police, he's being insulted and attacked for his devotion. Which brings us back to my thoughts about encouraging young men not to go into the pastoral ministry. Proclaiming God's word is a messy business. It is not for the faint of heart or the thin of skin. And it isn't for those who choose it as a nice way to serve God and to serve people, or a stable way to make a living. It is for those whom God has called, who feel the tug of God on their heart to proclaim his word regardless of the personal cost and consequences, who are doing it not for earthly accolades, but for heavenly approval. Those pastors who know that burning within, who fully understand that in this world, as God's spokesman, they will have trouble and they will be hated, even and especially for doing the right things. Who realize that they are waiting for a heavenly inheritance that can never fade, spoil, or perish. And those pastors, they're the few who make it through their entire lives in the ministry. And such is also true for each and every follower of Jesus also. Being called through baptism or through the proclaimed word to live a life of faith in Christ Jesus, that is not a call to a life of leisure. It is a call from God to a life of sacrifice and service, and yes, even suffering. Jesus said that as his followers, we would have trouble in this world. Peter wrote that as Christ's disciples, we are called to a life of suffering. And Paul wrote to Timothy that he should join with him in suffering for the gospel regarding it perhaps as did the apostles, who considered it an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus. You know, I think we all sometimes go through these periods in our walk of faith, as did Jeremiah in his ministry. We get frustrated, maybe even angry with God, because our lives are not going as smoothly or as problem-free as we thought they ought to go, especially considering that we're his children. After all, he called us to faith. He died for us. He has forgiven us of our sins. He rose from a grave so that we might live with him eternally in heaven. He made to us a lot of promises. He made promises to us of blessings and strength and peace and such. And yet sometimes in our lives, we don't feel any of that. And as long as we believe that all of God's promises to us are supposed to find their fulfillment in our lives, this side of the grave, then we're probably going to be sorely disappointed with God. And we may be tempted to walk away from him, like many pastors walk away from the ministry. But if we join with Job in saying of God, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him, Job 13. If we join with David in confessing, the Lord redeems his servants, no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him, Psalm 34. If we join with Paul in recognizing that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, 2 Corinthians 2. If we join with Peter in proclaiming there is nowhere else in this life to turn for help than to Jesus, for he and he alone holds the words of eternal life, John 6. And if we truly believe the words of Jesus himself, that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, Matthew 5, then we will remain in this Christian faith to which we have been called, even unto death. And so my encouragement for you today is to hold fast to the one who has called you and who has saved you. Hold fast to Jesus. Regardless of what you may suffer, you are God's child. You have been chosen and you have been called to receive all the blessings of God's eternal life. Don't let the sufferings of this life take your eyes off the prize, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. That reward of which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived. By Christ's suffering, it all belongs to you. By your suffering, you will make it through. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.